الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد أفلح من تزكى وذكر اسم ربه فصلى بل تؤثرون الحياة الدنيا والآخرة خير وأبقى إن هذا لفي الصحف الأولى صحف إبراهيم وموسى وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ما الدنيا في الآخرة إلا مثل ما يجعل أحدكم أصبعه في اليم فلينظر بما يرجع أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الأمي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما لسر الدروس الشريف اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. Respected elders, children and dear listeners, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has bestowed upon us many, many blessings, many bounties. Allah has given us many, many ni'mats, many blessings. وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. That if you were to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be able to do so. Allah has given us so many blessings, so much of the bounties Allah has given us. You know, Allah says in the Quran that if you were to count the blessings of Allah, the ni'mah of Allah that Allah has bestowed upon you, you will not be able to do so. I just want to explain to you one point here in this ayat. Allah in this ayat says that if you were to count the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the word ni'mah. You know the word ni'mah, those who know the Arabic language, they'll know that the word ni'mah is in singular form. One ni'mah. Wahid. It's not a jama. It's in wahid form. You know, when we say one ni'mah, we say ni'mah. And the plural of it is nu'ama, many, many blessings. But when Allah speaks in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that if you were to count the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be able to do so. So the question comes to our mind that Allah has not just given us one ni'mah, Allah has given us many, many ni'mats. It's not just one ni'mah that Allah has given us. Allah has given us so much. So why is it that Allah is using the word ni'mah, which is a singular word, and not nu'ama, which is a plural word? Allah Ta'ala Quran Kareem mein kya kehte hain? Farmate hain ki agar aap Allah ki ni'mat ko shumar karna chaho, to shumar aur gin nahi sakte. To lafz ni'mat, ye ek ni'mat pur bola jata hai. Agar ek koi ni'mat ho na, use kehte hain ni'mat. Aur bahut sari ni'mate ho, use Arabi mein kehte hain nu'ama. Urdu mein bhi yahi hai. Agar ek ni'mat kehna ho to hum kahenge ni'mat, aur bahut sari ho to hum kahenge ni'mate jama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ne Quran Kareem mein ni'mat ka lafz istemal kiya ek. To sawal ye paida hota hai ki Allah ne ek ni'mat to nahi di, hame beshumar ni'matein di hai, to Allah ta'ala kyun fir Quran Kareem mein ni'mat ka lafz istemal farmate hain? Why is it that Allah is using the singular word and not a jama word? And the other thing is, you know, when you want to do the countings, jab shumar karna ho to ek ki counting nahi hoti hai. You know, if you've just got a coin, no one will come and tell you that count this coin. Where will you be doing the countings? The countings will only be done where there are few in numbers. If there are few coins kept there, then you will say, "Acha, count these coins." Or there are few chocolates there, then you will say, "Count these chocolates, how many they are." But if there is just one chocolate, no one will come and tell you, "Count this, please." You'll say, "It's just one." So you need to do countings where there are multiple numbers, not just one. So why is it Allah saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you were to count one ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will not be able to do so. What's the meaning of this ayat then? Those who explain the Quran, the Mufassirun, they say, the reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it in this way is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is explaining us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us so many blessings, ni'mah. And the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is such that if you were to just take one ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in that one ni'mah, there will be multiple ni'mah hidden inside it. Agar aap Allah ki ek ni'mat ko le lena, us ek ni'mat ke andar bhi beshumar ni'mate chupi hui hogi, to ek hi ni'mat ko agar aap le le aur us ek ni'mat ko ginna chahe, us ek ni'mat ko bhi aap gin nahi sakte, to aur sari ni'maton ka to sawal hi paida nahi hota. To Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ne hame beshumar ni'maton se nawaza hai. He has bestowed upon us many, many blessings. And obviously, as a believer, it's our duty and responsibility that we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on all these blessings that He has given us. You know, even in this world, if we give a gift to someone, yeah, so what do we think that a person should do? We think that, oh, he should thank, isn't it? If someone gives us a gift, then what should we do? We thank that person. Oh, you've given me something. We thank him. But just imagine, Allah has given us so much. Just so much. You know, I'll just give you one example. This hand that Allah has given us, and He has made it so perfect. Just imagine for a while that Allah has given us this hand, and the bones that Allah has kept it here, it made us so easy for us to eat food. We can do our hands like that. Just imagine if Allah would have just given the hand without the bones being here, then we would not be able to do it like that. So how would we be able to eat the food? So like that, Allah has given us so much. In our body itself, Allah has given us so much. So it's our duty and responsibility that we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you know, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one is that verbal thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala verbally with our tongue. Oh Allah, you have given us so much, we thank you for it. But the real thanking is that we use the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the actual thanking of Allah. Allah has given us ears. We use our ears in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We listen to those things that Allah has allowed us to use. For example, listening to the Quran. Allah has given us this tongue. We use our tongue in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We don't use our tongue in a way that Allah becomes angry or Allah is not happy. Allah is displeased with us. If we use our tongue in a way that Allah has ordered us to use it, then we are thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the ni'mah of tongue that He has given us. So we use all the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His obedience. Now, do you know, from all the ni'mah that Allah has given us, we all know the greatest of all is that Allah has made us Muslim. He has made us a believer. Iman, the ni'mah of Iman that He has given us, is the greatest ni'mah. And do you know, and as a believer, we believe that Allah has sent us to this world for a test. We all believe that. We all say that. We are not going to live here forever. No one in this world has lived forever, and no one in this world will be living forever. All of us seated here today, do you know, after a few years, maybe 100 years, it will be someone else who will be coming and seated here. So everyone, you know, Allah has written for every one of us that we are going to leave this world. So this itself shows us that this is not the permanent place that we are going to be living in. This world is temporary. This world is temporary. And this world that Allah has created it, He has created it for a test. Do you know these things? We know all these things, but because we do not listen to it very often, that's why sometimes we go in these the materialistic things of this world so much that we forget that we are going to leave this place one day. دیکھیں دنیا کے اندر اللہ نے جو ہمیں بھیجا ہے وہ امتحان کے لیے بھیجا ہے اور یہاں ہم میں سے کسی نے ہمیشہ نہیں رہنا کوئی یہ دعویٰ نہیں کر سکتا کہ مجھے یہاں ہمیشہ رہنا ہے آج سے 100 سال کے بعد شاید ہی ہم میں سے کوئی یہاں پر بیٹھا ہوا ہوگا کیوں یہ دنیا ختم ہونے والی چیز ہے اللہ نے ہمیں یہاں بھیجا ہے کیوں امتحان کے لیے بھیجا ہے Do you know the nature of a human is such that he looks for instant gratification, that I should just read something and I should get everything whatever I want. That's the nature of a human being. کہ نہیں مجھے جو کچھ مجھے چاہیے سب کچھ مجھے مل جائے یہ انسان کی ایک فطرت ہے کہ جو کچھ ہے بس میرے دل میں جو بھی چاہتے آئے جو بھی خواہش آئے وہ سب کچھ پوری ہو جائے لیکن یاد رکھے this world that Allah has created, He has not created it so that we get everything whatever we want. This world is not meant for it. Allah has not created this world so that we get everything whatever we desire. Remember, no matter how much of knowledge a person has, how much of wealth a person has, or you can say how much of, you know, the materialistic objects of this world a person has, difficult situation, trials and tests comes to each and everyone. Not a single person in this world can claim that I've got everything whatever I wanted. No, it can't be. Because Allah has not created it. Allah has not created this world for it. Everlasting happiness and to fulfill our desire, it's not this world, it's Jannah that Allah has created. And you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being our creator, He will decide what we will get and what we won't get. Allah will decide that. It's not us. Sometimes, you know, we forget that we are the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has created us. So it's Allah that will decide what we will get and what we won't get. So remember, my brothers, this world that Allah has created, it's for a test. We are going to get tested. Trials and tests will come to each and everyone. It's not possible that a person can get everything, whatever he desired in this world. Because this world is not made for it. Allah has made Jannah for that. In Jannah, we will get everything, whatever we'll desire. مَا تَشْتَهِي أَنفُسُكُمْ Whatever your heart will desire, you'll get that in Jannah. So what we need to do in this world, because we cannot get everything, whatever we desire in this world, obviously we need to make an effort for it. احرص على ما ينفعك واستعين بالله ولا تعجز وإن أصابك شيء لا تقل لو أني فعلت كذا وكذا لكان كذا وكذا ولكن قل قدر الله وما شاء فعله فإن لو تفتح وعمل الشيطان أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. So that does not mean that we do not make an effort. Yes, we make an effort. We adopt all the means. But our nazar, our eyesight should be in the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That He will decide what I'm going to get and what I won't get. Do you know many a times a person likes earning money. He wants more money. He's earning towards it. He's making an effort. Yes, as far as it is by halal mean, that's perfectly fine. If he's obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the same time, that's fine. But you know, sometimes a person, even after making an effort, he goes through difficult times. He loses his money. At that time, we all should be taking a lesson that at that time we should think that this was not coincident. Nothing in this world happens coincidentally. It's because we do not know of the future. We think, oh, it's coincidentally that happened. But it was the plan of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah decided that. Allah has written it like that. That's why it happened. You know, many a times a person has got lots of money, but maybe he's suffering with the health issues. A person has got a big palace, But may Allah protect all of us, but their children are disobedient. Why? These all things shows that this world is not forever. It's not a permanent place of living. It's a test. You know, look at the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Go back and learn the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, he lost his children in his life. How did he react? His own people tried to harm and cause pain to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How did he react? You know, even before he came to this world, his father passed away. At the age of 6, his mother left this world. He went in the care of his grandfather. After 2 years, his grandfather passed away. He married, he had children. Qasim, his young son, passed away in infancy. Abdullah passed away. Three of those daughters passed away in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So all these hardships and difficulties in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is it? It's a lesson for us. You know, if Allah wanted to make, or if Allah was to make a paradise for someone, this world, if Allah wanted to make this world as a paradise for someone, He would have made it for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So trials and tests comes to each and everyone. So we need to remember that as a believer, it's our duty and responsibility that we keep this in our mind all the time, that we are going to leave this world one day. We are not going to stay here forever. We need to always remember that. In fact, do you know, every night before going to the bed, we should ponder over this. We should do a muraqabah. We should think of it, that there is a day that is written for me that I'm going to leave this world. We are not going to live here forever. You know, that's why the hadith says, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Al-kayyisu man dana nafsahu wa amila lima ba'da al-maut. It was explained last week as well that an intelligent person is he who exerts himself, who presses his desire. Whatever comes in his desire, he does not just do it. Wa amila lima ba'da al-maut, and he practices for the life after death. And you know, if a person has got this in himself, if a person is content, he has got qana'ah, he's not just running behind this world, he'll have peace in his heart, sukoon. Har ek shakhs ye chahta hai na ki main rahat se zindagi guzaru, sukoon se zindagi guzaru, to uska tareeqa kya hai? Uska tareeqa ye hai ki duniya ki mohabbat hum apne dil se nikal de, the love of this world. Yes, as I said, to have the world, the worldly items is not bad in itself, as far as we have acquired it, we have got it through halal means. Having the materialistic thing of this world is not haram. It's not something that is impermissible. But yes, loving this world in such a way that it distracts us from the akhirah, it distracts us from the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is bad. The things of this world, if it takes us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it takes us away from the ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is something that is very, very dangerous. So my brothers, this world that Allah has created is a test. And, you know, as I said last week as well, it was just a reminder again, as we all know the situation and condition in Pakistan, and it was mentioned last week as well, that, you know, as a believer, it's our iman on it, that we all are brothers. Al-Muslim wa akhul Muslim. We all are brothers. And Allah says in the Quran, that, you know, Allah has created you. Ya ayyuhan nas, inna khalaqnakum min dhakari wa untha, waja'alnakum shu'uban wa qabaila lita'arafu. That Allah has created you from one male and one female. All of our father is Adam alayhi salatu wasalam, and mother is Hawa alayhi salam. So we should not differentiate between us on the basis of languages, or on the basis of where he belongs from, or on the basis of family. No, no, no. We all are one. But yes, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who have got more taqwa, more consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the reason, you know, we all know Abu Lahab, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because he was a disbeliever, and he caused harm and pain to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cursed him. We read in the Quran, Tabbat yada abi lahabi watab. Whereas he was a leader of the family, but he's been cursed in the Quran. And all the people, till the day of Qiyamah, whoever will read Quran will read Tabbat yada abi lahabi watab. He's getting cursed in the Quran, whereas he was a leader of the family. And on the other hand, Hazrat Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he came from Habasha, Ethiopia, that we call today. He came from Habasha. He was not even a good-looking person. And he was not even a leader. He was a slave. But the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, embraced Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Why? Because of his iman. Because he had iman. Do you know, I would just like to end on one story. You know, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he migrated to Medina. He moved to Medina. There was a need for something that, you know, we do something that we call people for salah. What can be done that we call people for salah? So then, obviously, it's a long story. A sahabi, he saw a dream. He saw a dream that he was taught azan. You know what we give azan today? He was taught azan in a dream. He narrated this dream to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that this is what I've seen. Then Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, all right, this is what we are going to be doing now. We'll call out azan and people will come for salah. So then azan was prescribed. Do you know when it was a time to give azan, the Prophet of Allah, Prophet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called Bilal radiallahu anhu. Oh Bilal, come here, give azan. You know, we might think that the person who saw a dream was someone else. Why is it that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is calling Bilal to give azan? The person who saw a dream, he should get the reward, isn't it? He should get the reward and he should have been told that, all right, give azan. The person who saw a dream is someone else and the award, Bilal is getting it. Why is that? You know, the scholars, they explain, obviously the muhaddithun here, they say it was because the voice of Bilal was higher. He had a loud voice. So that is the reason the Prophet Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu to give azan. Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya Sahib, rahmatullahi alayhi, he says, the reason Allah has chosen Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu on the tongue of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was because in Makkah, people caused harm. The master of Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu caused him so much of hardship and difficulties. You know, he would put a collar on him, drag him in the heat of the desert. But in that pain and difficulty, Bilal would say, Ahad, Ahad, Allah is one, Allah is one. Yani Makkah ki takleefon par, ghamiyon mein Bilal ne ahad ahad ke naare lagaye, aaj khushi mein bhi Bilal hi ahad ahad ke naare lagayega. You know, in Makkah, in that pain and difficulty, Bilal would say, ahad ahad, Allah is one. Now in the time of, you know, in the time of joy, it's a time of giving azan. In this time as well, we will not forget Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and Bilal will be the one who will be giving azan. So in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who has got more taqwa is the one who is more closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So my brothers, you know, as a believer, we all believe that we all are brothers. So that's why, do you know, the condition that has taken place in Pakistan, the flood that has affected, so it's our duty and responsibility that, you know, firstly we make dua for them. That's the least that we can do. We make dua for them. You know, we take out time and do dua for them. And as I said the last week as well, that, you know, we need to take a lesson from it as well. It's an ibrah for all of us. It's an ibrah, it's a lesson for all of us. That it can come here as well. It could come anywhere. The punishment of Allah or the pukr of Allah, it can come on anyone. And we should not even think that, oh, they were more sinful than us, that's why the flood has come there and not here. No, 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 no. It could be that Allah loves them more, that's why the flood has come there. Because Allah wanted to awake them. That's why Allah has sent this on them. Allah usi ko jagana chahta hai jisse wo mahabbat karta hai. To ye ho sakta hai ki Allah unko zyada chahte ho, isliye unko jagane ke liye Allah ne ye bheja ho. Isliye hum ye na soche ki wo humse zyada gunahgar hai, isliye wahan aaya, yahan nahi aaya. Nahi nahi, is tarah ka hum, is tarah ki baat hai, hum na soche. To humse jitna ho sake, pehli cheez to ye ki dua karni. And you know, financially as well, we should try our level best to reach out to them, whatever we can. And you know, the benefit of spending out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the reward and the benefit we will get will be even more than what they'll benefit from it. Yani khairat Allah ke raaste mein sadaqa karne se hame unse zyada fayda pahunchega. Hum agar Allah ke raaste mein khairat karenge na, to unko jitna fayda nahi hoga, usse kahi guna zyada fayda hame pahunchega. Isliye ke hadith paak mein aata hai, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, As-sadaqatu tutfi'u ghadab ar-rabbi. Sadaqa karna Allah ke ghusse ko thanda karta hai. It extinguishes the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. اور انسان کو بری موت سے بچاتا ہے. وَتَدْفَعُ مِيتَةَ السُّوءِ, اور بھی بے شمار فوائد ہے صدقہ کرنے کے. اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی ہم سب کو ان کی مدد کے لیے قبول فرمائے. اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی ہمیں ان کی زیادہ سے زیادہ مدد کی اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی ہمیں توفیق عطا فرمائے. اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی ان کہی گئی باتوں پر سب سے پہلے مجھے اور ہم سب کو عمل کی توفیق عطا فرمائے. آمین یا رب.